Now, this last one, 2015, one of the people that I preached was my senior those days when I was in university, Reverend Ifeo Buke, you know. And I was listening to some of his messages. It was so inspiring. They were so inspiring. And I wanted to understand something that he said, very important. And, you know, I said something to us before, that faith does not just help you get things from God. That's not the first thing it does. The first thing actually faith does for you is what? To tell you you don't need those things. That's the first thing. Faith first removes the attachment that your soul has to those things. And next time you are praying about them, you can now pray about them based on understanding of purpose, understanding of the promises of God, not based on the attachment you have to things. Some of those things may even look good. Now, Pastor, Reverend, if you said something there, and which was such a blessing when I listened to the message during the week, he said that he quoted from the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Jewish men that were working for Nebuchadnezzar, who refused to bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. He said something which is so true. He said that they answered, because of time, we're not going to open the book, it's a story we all know, right? When the king called them and said, what is it that I've heard? That you guys are not bowing down to my image when you heard the sound of all these musical instruments. He said, now let us assume that it was wrongly reported to me. I want to give you another opportunity. You are going to hear the sound again. It is time to bow. And they answered the king and said, we will not be careful in answering you in this matter. That's what they said. We will not take time out to answer you carefully. We'll just tell you, oha. You know the way we say it. We'll just drop the thing for you like that. He said, one, our God that we serve is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us. So there is no reason to bow down to your idols. He said, even if he does not deliver us, that's the emphasis of the message. Even if he does not deliver, we want you to know that we would rather die than bow to a false god. So let him not deliver us. Forget it, we are not going to bow. Remember, if he said something that I said, look, Christians must understand. He said that, he talked about crisis in his life, challenges he has had. He said, one of the things, I talk about different people, one of the things that mark breakthrough for him and for other people he has ministered to is that he will tell them at the, you know, like now. For example, after he was married, for the first many years, his wife did not conceive. Now he has a number of children. And he said he got to a point in his life and he said simply, honey, so if you don't have children, what will happen? I don't know where I get the point. So what will happen? He said, a woman came to him once and said, I must marry this year. Pastor, pray. He said to the woman, tell the lady, sit down. Now, this is the first prayer we're going to pray. You are going to first tell God, say, even if I don't marry, so what? You know, there's a statement I've made here several times before. That when it comes to God, when we grab things too much, sometimes we can't even receive them from him. He now said something. He told a story that once, just to illustrate, all right, this story is very interesting. That when his first child was born, his wife did exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months, which is what is recommended, all right? If you can handle it, it's good. And then one of those days, the wife breastfed the boy, and the boy went to sleep. So she said, let me dash somewhere. I'll be back quickly before he wakes up. Except that as soon as she left, Bobo woke up. And when Bobo woke up, he said, where's my breast? They said, breast just went to the market. The boy said, what are you talking about? Wow. You know the way children, they first give you warning sign. Wow. Then they go begin crying. Give me this thing. You think I'm joking? You think, there will be war. That is the next thing that the boy began to holler. The boy hollered and refused to stop crying. The boy cried. By the time his wife finally came back, of course, what could they do? If I said the boy got angry when he showed up, I say, you want to bring me daddy, eh? Okay. What can he do for me, like, you know, little boy? Just a few months ago, the boy cried. He said, when the mother came back, now this was what I was going to say. The mother came back. Now his food has come back. He was crying so much he couldn't suck. Do you understand the point? He had cried so much. He had, the guy wore himself out crying, gasping, you know, panting, hiccups, all those kind of things. He couldn't suck. The thing you are crying for has come now. So they first had to go through a long process of calming him down, petting him, dancing. You know, every mother is a Michael Jackson. All kinds of... you will dance all kinds of dance because... This much children. Every style. They danced and did everything. Finally, the boy now calmed down before he could suck. He told that story to explain how it is with us and God. That when we grab for something, sometimes when God wants to do it, we can't even handle it. We are too excited. So, this is the lesson there. And when I heard that, I said, oh God, I like this illustration. He said, the people had to say to the king, listen, what is the worst you are going to offer? The king said, death. I know what the people don't realize is that when you heat up the furnace 7 times, we die quicker. The pain is less. Because the king said, heat the thing up 7 times. That's a foolish thing for people you want to punish. If you wanted to punish, you should cool it down. So they will roast gradually. You know, toe first, ankle next, knee after, hips, finally gets to the chest before they die. But the king said, roast it, heat it up 7 times, which is good for men who want to die. Because that one, you won't feel any pain. The first breath you take in the hot this thing will burn your whole chest. You just die. 5 seconds after you enter the fire, you're dead. So the king, he asked the king, is that the worst you have to offer? Let us tell you ahead of time, we came here prepared to take the worst from you. Open to the book of John chapter 10. One of the things God did for me, I told you this several times, that one after I finished my NYC, when it comes to the matter of money and all of that, I said, Lord, if you don't bless me, don't worry about it. Poverty is not going to kill me. No, and I meant it. I wasn't joking about it. The only prayer I prayed, I still remember very well. Because that was when, despite the profession I was in, the country was extremely tough. And when I saw what my colleagues were doing to earn a decent living, we young doctors who just finished NYSC, we needed to work in 3 places if we wanted to acquire any material possession on this earth. And I'm not joking about that. That when I say 3 now, I don't mean part-time jobs, I mean full-time jobs. You worked 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., then 3 p.m. somewhere else to 8 or 9. In the third place, you cover their night duties. Each of these people will give you 5,000 naira a month. You earn 15,000 naira and you're happy. And people say naira had more value that time. That is true. But not as much as they think relative to what people earn these days. Around that time was when dollar crashed to 70 naira to the dollar. That one naira crashed to 70 naira to the dollar. So you can easily calculate what we are talking about. All right? And I remember one magistrate then, my cousin's friend, who when he heard how much I was earning as a doctor in Luth, he told me it was not possible that a Nigerian couldn't survive on that money. And I said, sir, you want to see my pay slip, I'll get it for you. That's how much we're earning. He looked at me and said, it is a lie. It's not possible. The fellow said it's not possible. That's the time I was telling you about, all right? So those days, of course, everybody wanted to get out of the country and all of that. And one thing I was sure of was I didn't want to go anywhere. You say, why? Because I knew I was going to preach. And I felt that Nigeria is my base for preaching and I wasn't planning to go anywhere. All right? I prayed and my life was led, you know, God led me different ways to where I was at that particular point in time. Now, like, you know, you've heard me tell the story again and again. When I now got to Lagos after my NYC, and God planted me in a place where those who were blessed were around me, you know, financially. And I realized that they were not struggling like we young boys that will work 3 jobs because we wanted to buy what? And what did they buy with those 3 jobs? It's shoes, oh. I'm telling you, a music set, maybe managed to buy a television. Because your whole month salary working in 3 places could buy only a 14-inch box TV. You know, those Akbotis, portmanteau. you know those things, that was what a whole month, no, I'm not exaggerating. A whole month salary, that was how much he bought. That was all he bought. I remember the first time I bought a nice music set, all right? by that calculation, you had to walk three places like that and walk for 2 months and put everything together to buy a pound. I'm not kidding. I still have the box. That's the music set. Still, there's broken down. It's in my garage, discarded, but I can still show it to you. All right? That's how things were in the country that time, all right? But in the midst of everything, when I got to that situation, I looked around. I saw men make a few phone calls. They are not stealing. They're just doing business. They will earn 5 months of my salary in a few hours. I prayed a simple prayer. My prayer was simple. I still remember very well. I said, God, you know, we're going to do something, though. You will have to bless me in this life. And if you are not keen on doing it, don't worry about it. I will survive. I said, the only thing is this. Please make sure I don't marry. Because this kind of suffering is best done alone. Because John the Baptist did not have a wife eating locust and wild honey. You know, this wife thing is an issue. Because, no, really, poverty is very sweet if you're alone. And there's no food by evening. You start praising God and worshiping. When you want to worship and want speaking, saying, you turn around. If you don't have money, what is the big deal? You just go and sleep. And once you sleep without food for 3 days, you get used to it. It's only the first 2 days that's wahala. After 3 days, you're used to it. When they say, you're not going to eat, say, no, I'm going to sleep. As if they are mutually exclusive. As if it's a matter of eat or sleep. You've got to get used to it. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. No, really, that was my decision that time, and God is my witness. I wasn't going to be. I told myself, if you walk like this, you're going to die. If you go on like this, you will die. Because I walked a bit like that, you know. After, you know, mine's like different. But after a while, I got up one day. I said, I'm not doing it again. The only job I had at the time, when I started my residency training, the job was paying me one and a half times what the hospital was paying me. The job was paying me 9,000 a month. The hospital was paying me 6,000 a month. And that was my full-time job. This was part-time, just in the evenings. That's night. I just go there, sleep, see the patients overnight. If there's any emergency, I handle it, you know. After a few months, I said, this is how to die on time. From earning 15,000 a month, I went to resign. Told them I'm not doing it again. So as I'm managing my 6K a month, I said, at least this one, I will be alive to preach. Am I not alive? I'm preaching today. Don't you like what I look like? The Lord is good. No, really, it was a decision I made, though. I just said, no. If God wouldn't bless me, you shouldn't worry about it. But one thing is certain, I won't live like this. But that I will follow him and preach for him, that one was guaranteed. It wasn't being negotiated. It was not being negotiated. It was one of those days that I now read the scripture. And it jumped out of the pages of the book. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I took that word and I held it. And after I read that, I said, in this life, I will never be poor. And I meant it. I'm not joking about it. I said, once in a while, not just for exercise, dear Lord, what's going on? Prosperity should flow towards me like a river. Maybe we'll see small this about the next few weeks. And the wealth of the nations, that's the one I'm beginning to dig in, both for me personally and for Kingdom World Ministries. When they say Naira is falling, Naira is falling, I told my wife, I've not had as much peace about the changing of Naira value as I've had in this one in my life. And they say, it's now 200, it has crossed the 200 mark. It doesn't cause, they say, it's now 300. It doesn't, God knows I'm not lying to you, it doesn't bother me. As if it drops too much, I just swing my prayer. I say, Lord, you remember there's a particular portion of that commandment, that promise that says, the wealth of the nations. I say, okay, in that case, let the money start coming in dollars. If it comes in dollars, we won't be worried about the value. Yeah, let's leave it like that now. But really, I'm not kidding about it. I've not prayed about it, thought about it, no, considered about it, and said maybe about it, what is going on about it. The value of Naira, the price of dollar, is not going to be determinant of my morning joy. I wake up in the morning, open the newspaper. How much is this money? 220. Yeah. Israel, how much are we paying Omega Channel this week? Are we? Haba. I said before you again. If God doesn't want us to preach, you know, I have. Look, this issue of dying that is like laying things down. That's why you will never meet. You will never. God, please, with your grace, confirm these words. You will never meet beg for money for ministry. Since we began Kingdom World Ministries, only once have I ever opened my mouth and told somebody to give the ministry money. And the reason why I did that is because the fellow is my personal friend. And once he was telling me how much he had enjoyed the messages and how much the books, anytime he sees my materials, he wants to read, he wants to, and for that reason, I told him casually as a friend that you should give us money. It wasn't like, give us money we need. I said, for this kind of response you are getting, you get my point, that you're having from this ministry, you should give us money because I know you have money. Paul said, instruct them that are rich in this world. You sometimes know those who are rich. You have been blessed by this ministry. This is the word of God. There's one other of which I'll have told you that, look, buy me a suit because I'm the one preaching. The kingdom world does not preach, I hope you know. I do the preaching. I hope you know kingdom world doesn't preach. I do the preaching. It's true now. But I was reading Paul today. Paul said, this is my reward that I can present this gospel without charge to anybody, even though it's my right to charge. That is the only time in my life. And it was a casual gist. I know you have money. You said this ministry has been a tremendous blessing to you. Then it's people like you that should give to the ministry. And he said to me simply, he didn't want to give. And I dropped the matter. If you don't count that one, we founded Kingdom World Ministry since 2001. Baby, it was 2001 now. We came to the 2001. Yes, that's when we commenced work, printing, trust, and all of that. Till today, I have never, ever asked anybody for a dime. I cannot remember tactfully letting people know what we need so that, you know my reason? I'm talking about this destiny, willing to die. The issue is simple. The only thing that God owes me in quotes, that people owe, not people, God in quotes now, owe me in quotes, is to give me revelation. After, what do we do with money? It's to propagate the spread, you know, the dissemination. We have to go on radio, we have to keep this thing going. So I said, look, if there is no place like this, we can't pay for a place like this, I will invite all of you to my sitting room. I can arrange chairs under my carport. The front of my house can take more people than this. I said, if it comes to that, like everybody come to my house. But for me to stand up and beg anybody for money, God, it will never happen. If they say dollar is 1,000 naira to the dollar and God doesn't bring money, I will call Omega Channel and thank them for the period that we broadcasted with them, that it was nice. But we are sorry, we don't want to owe you, so please shut us down after the next month. We pay you and then we shut down. I like what the Bishop Oyedepo said. He said, God sent me. He didn't say I must have a microphone. So if you can't hear me, better contribute your own money and go and bring a microphone. That's what he said though. That my job is to preach. If you can't hear me, it's your business. The book of John chapter 10. This is what gives you control in life. And you start behaving as if you don't have a car, you will die. That's why you will die. When I see the way people say, I must build house. If you know the reluctance in my soul, let me not go near there, yes. I'm talking about what gives people control in life. I said we should open somewhere, right? Where? Yeah, John chapter 10. Reverend, if he said something, that thing that day, it was such a blessing to me. He said when his wife didn't bear that time, at the point in time, they just prayed to God and released the matter to God, and then the wife began to intercede for other women. Never pray for herself again. Christians must understand, this life, don't let anything hook you by force. Sometimes when I see the way preachers go about this ministry, your ministry wants to be big, you want to do this, you want to do that. People come to me one day, Pastor Banky, how did you do this? I said, one thing is sure. For me, was just to the only thing I started doing in ministry was to write. I wrote choices, key to destiny. I wrote to nobody. I just sat in my house, wrote it, and then sent it to the wife I was about to marry. Well, we're not even married yet. We just got to know each other, you know. Sent it to her. That's what you are reading today as a book. Choice is key to destiny. The book, the tract, this is faith. I wrote it at a sitting. Just came back from work that day. Picked up my computer. And then something just hit me. This is faith. I wiped out the whole one I was writing and wrote, this is faith. I wrote that whole tract at a sitting. That's all I wanted to do. What did I need money for? Printing tracts. And my wife and I could afford that. 1,000 copies for 3,000 naira. That's how we used to print it. We came in different colors, blue, green, black, red. We printed, my wife and I alone, this one that the co-workers will gather to fold, when you come early and fold, my wife and I alone folded more than 10,000 copies. Alone. And I was willing to do only that. And people want to break their head over ministry. You see, if it is ministry, let the ministry take care of itself. No, that's what I mean. Once you just pray, matter of prayer, leave the rest. If money won't come, money stay where you are now. So now, just don't laugh at this. Oh. Don't laugh at me, all right? My wife always said that I'm the funniest preacher she's ever seen. After all this year, she still doesn't know any preacher that's worse than me. She has known me inside out. Say, this man, this guy is not just spiritual at all. Some people, they are fasting and fasting. My wife knows, Lila, I don't enjoy those things. I'm hungry, I eat anytime. Anytime. Why are you not fasting? Did I kill somebody? People say that Jesus Christ said that when he goes, disciples will fast. I said, no, you don't understand. He said that I will come back to you. So that time I was talking about, so between when he will leave and the other two will come back. It was a period of money. When they give you food, you can't eat. When your whole hope don't die, how you go chop? Your hope has died. Jesus just died on you. Boom. Jesus just died on you. How can you eat? That's what he was saying. He said, when the bridegroom is taken away, they will fast in that day. But he now said to them, I will come back to you. And he came back in the person of the Holy Spirit. The bridegroom is still with me, my friend. I'm going hungry for nobody. No, you know why I said you shouldn't be angry with me? I want to say something. Some people say that they pray. They fast before they receive anointing. I told the Lord, keep it if that's the way it is. I will be begging you to anoint me. Ah. Israel. It's like we say, let's put message on television. Then you'll be begging me to sign the check to pay them. It will be, Pastor, if you don't want us to do, now leave it now. I will be begging God. And I said, dear Lord, you know, let's do it like this. All I have to do is do like Isaiah. Here I am, send me. If you don't have any message, that's your own problem. But for me to be begging you to have a message, I don't know for people, though. So that's why your husband is not spiritual. This is my logical. Listen, let me tell you something about this ministry. League. Go and check those that God called. They were the ones running. Moses argued. Which kind of argument did he not argue? You know I'm too old. That was 40 years ago. God said, I have called you. He said, you know, I can't talk. God said, don't worry. Since you will not allow me to heal the can't talk. Because, you know, Jesus came to a man who was blind. What can I do for you? The man had to say that I might receive my sight. You know why God did not heal the stammering of Moses? Moses did not want it to be healed. Because that was the only excuse he had for not going. So that's why God said, well, am I not the one that made the mouth? Moses held on to his stammering. He said, I'm not. If you stop stammering, he'll send you. That was the point. So if you stop stammering now, he will send you. So God said, okay, fine. Call the other brother. This guy will be your prophet. Just whisper it to him. He's used to the way you talk. If it takes you 1 hour to say, the Lord, he will say it in 1 second. Pharaoh, don't mind it. What he wanted to say is, thus says the Lord. So they said, fine. Was the man begging anybody to send him? No. Jeremiah, when God called Jeremiah, he said, before you were born, I knew you. While you were in your mother's womb, I consecrated you to be a prophet of the nations. Jeremiah told God, you have not checked my age. I'm not saying he didn't call me. Oh, I'm not saying he didn't consecrate me. But at least you wait for man to reach that kind of 50. They will now start facing these people. At this my young age, You look for trouble? Jeremiah said, I can't go. God said, don't say you can't go. From one commandment, don't say you can't go. From now on, wherever I tell you to go, you will go. Don't worry about what you will say. It's what I just tell you to say that you will say. He said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. These men were not fasting and praying to be sent. So I don't understand the logic of fast and pray to be sent. If you don't want to send me, find somebody else. My own duty is just to be prepared, a yielded vessel. That's why I make my choices according to the fact that I know I have been sent to teach. There are, in quote, opportunities that come to me. I remember when I first came to Enugu that time. One of my colleagues, finally Enugu has a pathology psychic. He came with the forms and everything, explained to me how I could go to the US, USCC will sponsor and all of that. I go for a course because he needed a pathologist to support his work, you know. When he finished, there was only one problem. He said 3 months. For me, that time, 3 months abroad is not a bad deal. You understand? It's not bad. The issue was just that I felt that I was about to kick off Kingdom World Ministries in Enugu. 3 months out of town was too terrible. So I said no. I thanked him very much. Left the issue. Another of my chiefs, all right, came later. You know, as a young man, this one, so there's this door that's open. They need a pathologist, so I'm going to recommend you. You know, we're going to come. But then, you know, for the thing to start, you go for training. You're going to be in Hammersmith for some time. I'm at Hammersmith. Go. That's my only word. I said, chief, I thank you very much. I understand. I ran away from all those opportunities that people of my level would have run, you know, would have grabbed. The simple reason was that I was kicking off teaching the word of God. I couldn't afford the time. It was not a bad thing. If he had given that to me 4 years before me while I was still in Lagos, I would have taken it, you know, with two hands, two legs, hug it with my stomach and hold the opportunity like this. But by the time I came down, it was time to kick off what we are doing now. I saw all of those things as distractions. I thought that fasting, going hungry is the easiest way to get these things done. You know, like it's a lazy man's way. I'm sorry. When you want to see what they call Christian fasting, make decisions that take money from you. Let me see. You go this way, you're a millionaire. You go this way, you're going to be broke for another 15 years. And you know. That's when you know whether you're fasting or not. So just go hungry for 3 weeks. Come on. After the first week, you are used to it. It's saving you money. So don't even... It's true. Don't come on. Don't come on. I've never... people used to tear their garments. God had to say to them, rend your heart, not your garment. This is of tearing cloth. I forget you. I know you'll buy another one. People even just say, oh, dear Lord, God said, rend your heart, not your garment. God, today, is this the fast I have chosen? Listen, that was my own logic about it. That's why I didn't... Look, my own is, as a Christian, be yielded. And whatever is put into your hand, be faithful. Those are the two things. Be yielded, whatever is put into your hand, be faithful. God will multiply his anointing as it's going on. That's not to say that you will not wait on your ministry. That's what you're supposed to do, wait on your ministry. Wait on your ministry didn't say fast on your ministry. Wait on it, pay attention to it. Let it be the thing that consumes you. I was telling my wife the other day, look, because of my secular employment, there are times I sit down to do some things. I'll quickly calculate, say, if I spend this number of hours doing my ministry work, I check the productivity. I will literally push promotion aside. I put some things aside. I say, listen, let me do this. That is, wait on your ministry. Paul said wrote a letter to the Colossians. He said, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry that you have received of the Lord. Make sure you fulfill it. Pay attention to it. That's what we're talking about. That's what I need to do. As we're begging the Lord to bring anointing, I will tell him I'm ready. In fact, you know, I told you at the beginning of the year, I was also praying, Lord, what do we do now? After praying again and again and again, one thing kept on coming to my mind every time I started praying. So I took it as the Holy Spirit. It's like, relax, just continue your work. You will see things evolve. And I left it like that. You will see the evolution of things. Moses was just going around trying to keep the sheep, having given up on this matter of deliverance from Israel when God called him. Have you ever seen a man fight this call of God in the scripture like Moses did? Yet, was there anybody anointed like Moses until John came and Jesus came? Before John and then the Lord Jesus Christ, there were three people that were the examples of anointing in the Old Testament, or under the law and the prophets. I don't like using the word Old Testament, all right, for certain reasons. Under the law and the prophets was Moses, Samuel, Elijah. None of these people harassed themselves to get the anointing. Samuel was too small to even understand what you're talking about. When God spoke audibly to him, he thought it was the old man talking to him. He was just a little boy. We don't know much about the history of Elijah. But if you know the thing about Elisha, who he handed over to, maybe something like that happened to him also. He was just about going about his business when a prophet passing by just cast a mantle upon him. That's how Elisha was called. Elijah himself, we don't know much about his background. I went to all of this trying to bring out an issue. How we relate with the matters of life. Even when it comes to ministry, people lose control sometimes because they want to take hold of ministry. Sometimes what ruins ministries is the structures they are trying to put in place to protect the ministry. A lot of churches that have branches, you know why they move their pastors about? So they can't carry away members. See, this reckless transfer you see some people do is the truth now. You know, am I saying anything bad? You know, Catholics know they do that kind of thing because they know you are not going anywhere. Catholic priests, they know they decamp. It's true, they know they decamp. Anytime a Catholic priest moves, it's pure mission. But some of our brethren, some of these our churches there, why they move pastors up and down is they don't want you to wake up one day and carry away members. But I keep on saying, if I'm the general overseer or the bishop, archbishop or prelate of any church, I'm going to use the attitude of John the Baptist. If you carry away members, I'll put somebody else there and they'll be preaching. If the members stay with you, then God sent them to you. And we will pray for you and sow seed into your life. I'm not joking about it though. We will bless you. We will help you open to start. If you are going somewhere else, okay. You guys have plenty. You don't have money. We will sow a seed. Go away. As long as all of those people you are carrying, they are coming to heaven. What's my issue? John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. You see, ministries put funny structures in place just to tie things down. One of our brothers even tells me that. They will tell them in their church that, you see, if you are preaching all the time, you are projecting yourself. Just for being anointed, Nawahala now. Because the men are above, they are afraid that you will carry members away. Listen, me, I have never had a problem with people who carry members away. Listen, if you carry members away, it's one or two types of members that are going with you. One, either the Lord sent them to you, that is, sends you to them, and it is right for them to follow you. Or two, they are so stupid, they don't realize who to follow. In which case, let them follow you too. We don't want them. Are you getting my point? So you go with the troublemakers. Who wants to break his head because of troublemakers? I don't know. Why am I talking to people in ministry today? The Lord is good. John chapter 10. Don't laugh, because we are going to read it now. Laughing at me. You will see the reason why we are in John chapter 10. Now, I want you to understand something. Let's read from verse... I'm looking for where to start. Okay, let's start from verse 14. I'd like to read in context, all right? So, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. He said... verse 15, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jump down to verse 17. For this reason, the Father loves me. Now, listen to this. This is the reason the Father loves me. Because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. He said, no one has taken it from me, But I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment, he said, I receive from my Father. Why did I read this? If I like the way King James says it, he said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. He said here, I have the authority to lay it down. Jesus was saying that this is why my Father loves me, because I'm willing to lay down my life for the sheep, even though I know I am going to take it up again. And he said, I have power to lay it down, and I have the power, authority, to take it up again. And this is the lesson in that statement. The power to take it up is preceded by the power to lay it down. Are you getting my point? Before the Father gave him the power to take it up again, the first thing he got from the Father was the power to lay it down. Are you getting what I'm saying here? That is, except a grain of wheat dies, it abides alone. What am I explaining? That what gives us control in life is actually the thing that we are willing to release. Did you hear what I said? Remember, what makes a man lose control is attachment to things. I told the story from that message by Pastor Efiebuke, because it's so true. He said, the people said, look, if you like, kill us. The worst that will happen is that we die, right? The man said, yes. He said, in that case, we are ready for death. And that was how they got the power to take it up again. If you know the principle of life, they died. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. That's the spirit principle of God. They died. Just like Isaac died. So what happened to Abraham? Because he was willing to release Isaac. He had the power to put Isaac down. Therefore, God gave him the power to take Isaac up again. Are you getting the principle? The same thing with these three young men in Babylon. The Israelite men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they had the power, the willingness to lay their lives down, God now gave them the power to take it up again. That is, control in life came to them because they were willing to lay life down. I don't know what I hear what I said. Let me say it like this. Until you are ready to say to God, even if you leave me poor for life, I will follow you till I die. You are not ready for his prosperity. Did you hear what I said? People say that you're not walking by faith. Listen, that is what real faith is. Real faith is not the ability to grab and not let go. Real faith starts with the ability to let go and, if necessary, take it again. That is where faith starts from. That ability to let go, that is real faith. To say to God, listen, why am I a businessman? Not because I'm looking for money, but because I have the skill. I have the ability. The Spirit of God wants to pass prosperity into this earth. So I'm saying to the Lord, here are my hands, use them. I'm not looking for money. That is why, listen, sometimes people say that, country is so hard. If you don't bribe, you can't get far. It is because you are not willing to lay things down. If you look at a man in the face and say, if this bribe is what will send you to heaven, better go to hell, because I'm not going to give you. I say, in that case, I won't sign the papers. Say, do I look like I'm going to die if you don't sign the papers? As you are saying it, you carry your files and you are telling him to his face, don't sign it now. And before you go, suddenly the Holy Spirit tells you, says something to you. You turn to the man and say, oh, by the way, if you don't sign it, another man better than you will sign it within 24 hours. And you walk away. You come back next day. This sounds dangerous. The man either died yesterday or they sacked him this morning. And you walk into the next guy and say, my paper has been here for the last 3 weeks. Congratulations on your new appointment. When are you signing it? I warned the other man that if he didn't sign it, somebody better than him will sign. I hope you are the person that is better. Listen to me. The guy will either sign rapidly and ask you, how many signatures do you like? Do you want? And when you are going to say, please hold this per signature in case. Because he will investigate and he will say to him, truly, sir, that man was here yesterday before Oga left. Oga was raking and saying, I will never sign his paper. And I was passing by. Because the angel will just blow your voice into the ear of somebody to give witness to what happened. So I was passing by when the man said, either you sign it or somebody better than you will sign it. You're not saying that because you are bragging. You are about to leave. You're not planning to fight. You are going to leave it. But the Holy Spirit just whispers to you at the door. You turn to him and say it. And the man looks at you and says, what effrontery. And he decides he's going to make a point with you. He didn't realize that by saying that he had violated Psalm 2, which says, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. Listen, it's one of two things. Either he dies that night, or he gets sacked the following morning. Somebody will bear witness. And that's it. So the other fellow said, well, in the interest of peace and tranquility, let's sign these troublemakers' papers. After that, you know, let me tell you something about resurrection. Those who have resurrected never die again. I don't know what I get the point. After that in your life, every office you enter, you will never be afraid. Everybody will be afraid of you. That office, you know, fear forever. Are you getting my point? Now, if you dash anybody something, they'll say, it's not necessary, sir. You say, take it. Sir, from your heart, sir. Yes, from my heart. Take. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. That is respect. They won't be afraid to tell you lies. But that kind of power doesn't come because you prayed. That's what I'm trying to tell Christians. It's not a prayer power that comes to those who pray. It's power that comes to those who are ready to lay their lives down. I've forgotten my point. Let us go home. I hope you are blessed today. Remember, God created you for dominion. Amen?
Amen.
God did what? Created you for dominion. Don't let Satan steal your power and your authority. That's all he's trying to do. Listen to me. Those who have the power to take up are those that have power to lay things down. The power to lay down is always before the power to take it up again. I hope you understood that point. All right, come on. Let's bow down our heads and begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you.